Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day, Wednesday at noon. So it is Hutton O'Clock. Our friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us now. Hutton, it was announced yesterday the Titans signed wide receiver Tyler Boyd. 1-year deal worth up to $4.5 million. What do you make of it?
I like what they've done this offseason, and here's another example. They continue to build around Will Levis. We mentioned this whenever they hired Callahan, Caroline. He's going to have every opportunity, Levis is, to have things set in front of him with the best possible chance to succeed. And it's on him, yes, but, I mean, the coaching staff is quarterback-centric and pass game-centric. I mean, this is great for a quarterback that they try to let loose in year number two. I like the one-year deal. I like any player in a contract year. And I like how they manage this negotiation. You know, they brought in Zay Jones. You have Tyler Boyd on the West Coast visiting, and all of a sudden, well, they've got a deal done. It was a nice job by Rand Carthon and company.
I love it. I love the move. I love that it's low commitment. I love what Tyler Boyd adds, and I love that Tyler Boyd's stepping in, and he can be the three. Like, he doesn't have to step into that two or that one spot. He can play that two if he needs to, but you're bringing in a high-end three and another option for Will Levis. Frankly, I love it, but just from your perspective, what do you think this means for Treylon Burks?
Well, I mean, Treylon Burks is going to have to come in and prove it. He was going to have to do that anyway, and we've mentioned this as well in the past. I mean, this time last year, he was still the number one receiver on the depth chart. Now he's number four. I mean, if he can't get the message now with, again, a passing offense, look, that's number one. Number two is that they now have him as, I mean, he is a valuable commodity for this team. That having Treylon Burks as a number four instead of Westbrook Akine or someone else further down the depth chart, I mean, that is something we haven't seen from a Titans roster. And you have a trio of receivers that are really good, maybe the best three-pack we've seen. Mace, you can speak to that in a Titans uniform. I mean, on paper, I'm saying, just as a trio. But having Burks, a first-round pick with first-round pick talent when he came out of Arkansas, it's time for him to put up. And he's going to be in a situation where he can. He just needs to be available. He has not been available. He needs to get on the field. That's first and foremost for Treylon Burks. He needs to prove it.
Yeah, you're right about that, Hutt. He does need to prove it. And I think they've said as much. Like, you know, what he get, he will earn what he get. And I think that's only right, especially after two seasons where, you know, you've been injured. You've been, you know.
And Mace, he's going to be even more so. I mean, he's going to get a lot of playing time on teams right now.
Yeah, he is. That's if they choose to use him on special teams. I got to just believe that they're going to try to do their best to make sure that he's a part of the offense. And he has to do his part as well. I don't think they're thinking so much special teams with him. Now, he may have to play it, but you don't want your first rounder. Unless this is like, if he's playing special teams, this has shown me that he is truly out of their plans. They are thinking with the three wide receivers, and if he comes on, so be it. But we're trying to get at least something out of him before we feel we have to either cut him or trade him. So if they throw him on special teams, to me, it's a done deal because you don't go.
Well, I bring it up, and I mean, I'm with you. I bring it up only because of the roster down to the 48 game day roster. You know, you have to be valuable. And look, here's the other thing. I think, you know, the 30,000-foot view, and Mason, see if you agree, the view now is, oh, he's now being pushed down. He's been demoted. And, I mean, he's been passed by three good receivers, one that was already ahead of him in Hopkins. But also, I mean, this is an 11 personnel offense. He's going to get plenty of opportunities if he proves it now, between now and the end of August, 1st of September. You know, and many times the Titans went with a base 12 personnel because that was out of necessity in many times. You know, the extra wide receiver on the field was a tight end, or they went 21 and used two backs, and it was, you know, obvious that where they were going with the football based on personnel packages. If you're going 11 personnel and you're going heavy 11, this is what Callahan needed, and they get a boost here with having him come in as your third guy, who's been a 1,000-yard wide receiver, and he's been a part of a really good trio in Cincinnati. It's a great signing for an off season that's been really good so far.
Well, great. It's a good signing to me. It gives you the ability, Hutt, to not rely so heavy on whether Traylon Burks or Kyle Phillips or anybody else after that comes on this season. It gives you.
Well, you know what,
Mace?
He's not being used as a number one or number two immediately. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's great.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Also, you know, all these moves that are being made, I think is a direct indication that this is the year that they want to see Will Levis. And, you know, maybe other people think that maybe Will Levis got a year or two to get this together. But I think with this new coaching staff, this is going to be the year. And they're going to make a determination based upon how he does this season, whether we need another quarterback or not, because they are setting him up to be successful in this system. And if he can't be successful in this system, then I think next year they're going to have to go and draft a quarterback. Because, again, Brian Callahan didn't draft Will Levis. And if he doesn't feel he's his guy, then he's more apt to move on quickly rather than wait another year after this one.
Yes. And I mean, you know, you've got the preferred 11 personnel. Mm-hmm. You do have a run game still, you know. I mean, consider that for Will Levis and just how he plays quarterback. I mean, last year, whenever he came in, I mean, and I don't blame him, I would do the same thing. I would be locked in on DeAndre Hopkins. You know, that was who you trusted. Now, I mean, you have three proven NFL caliber receivers with legit skins on the wall, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got the slot role that's now with, you know, you've got Boyd, but you have that, you know, the slot role that Burks played at Arkansas. It's different than, you know, the one that you see in NFL offenses, for instance. And you have Boyd now that can run that. So you got primarily that type of role in Cincinnati with this head coach being his offensive coordinator. I think that's a coup for Levis. And again, you don't have to automatically look one direction. You've got options too out of the backfield, three down options at running back too, with a chance to build off of Will Levis. And really, there are still holes, Mace, on this roster. They need another full off season to really, really go into a season, I think, contending for the division. But this is a team that has vastly improved from the team I saw in January.
Yeah, they have. I think they've addressed some needs. Now, obviously, they got more holes to address, but I think the more pressing ones they did address. Now, whether they work or not, that's yet to be seen. I know, you know, people wanted to know my opinion on this receiving core that they have. Now, I think on paper, it's a good receiving core. The only problem is that all these guys are going to be in their 30s. If not 30 already, will be in their 30s. So this is an older group paired with a young quarterback that you're trying to figure things out with. On paper, it's a good receiving core. They haven't had one that has had this type of depth, meaning a veteran depth, in a very long time.
It was you and Drew Bennett and McCarron's, was it not?
Yeah, it was. And that group was different because you had a guy in me who was reaching, you know, ascending. Then you had two young guys that were still getting their feet wet. And we finally put it all together, and they finally dismantled it after we put it together. Titans. hopefully, and they've done it before.
Gotta run the ball.
They do it all the time. But I think on paper, this is a really good receiving core. It's a veteran receiving core. And more importantly than anything, it's a reliable receiving core as it sits right now. Now, we get into the season, things can change. But right now as we sit, this is a good, reliable receiving core.
Mace, just real quick, I'm sorry to flip the questions here, but I'm fascinated by it. How many receiving rooms were you in your career where you felt like, you know what, this group, we are helping the quarterback as much as the quarterback is helping us? Because I think that's also a big piece to the whole Will Levis puzzle.
I think once I became a starter, I think, you know, we always had the capability to help the quarterback as much as he was helping us. Or we always thought that, hey, listen, going in, you know, the quarterback got to help us as we got to help the other quarterback. Now, it was different because we had Steve. But the problem with that was because of the way he played, he was always injured. He was injured a lot. So we had the carousel of Neil O'Donnell, you know.
Yep.
Who else was in that carousel? What's the kid out of Fresno State? I don't know why. Billy Volek. And then we had some other guys. So, but I've always thought, other than possibly, I'm trying to think, when Dyson left, I think that may have been the only year because Drew and Justin were still so young. And you didn't know what you're going to get. You knew they were good players, at least Justin. And you saw Drew at that training camp. But when Dice left, it was like, okay, what do we have here? And it showed that we had a pretty good receiving core. Once we got into the season, it showed that, hey, as much as we're going to help you, quarterback, you got to help us as well. And we did that for that season. So, that's probably the one year.
What about Flacco?
See, Flacco was a little bit different. Because they brought Flacco on very slowly, and we knew exactly what to expect from Flacco. We knew we had to help Flacco as much as he was going to help us because he was a rookie quarterback. And we wanted to make sure the pressure wasn't on him to go out and win us football games. But as we got into the season, halfway through it, he showed that, hey, he can handle the stress of being an NFL quarterback, and he was going to help us as much as we were going to help him. So it all just happened in a way I think it was supposed to happen. We grew with him, and he grew with us as a quarterback on that team with Baltimore's rookie year.
Willie, this is a far cry from David Givens, Joel Filani, and Paul Williams on the receiving court.
Yeah, in fact, I was just trying to do some research and find this. Like, they have three guys on the roster mm-hmm. that have multiple 1,000-yard seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think since the team came to Nashville, I don't think they've had that.
Yancey, Carl,
but there wasn't a third guy.
Yeah, you're right. There wasn't.
A third guy that I could think of that had multiple 1,000-yard
seasons. Well, Chris was
seasons.
Close, but he was like 700, 800
Yeah,
yards.
I don't think he had the 2,000-yard season. Yeah. I think you got to go back to the Warren Moon with
Haywood
Jeffries and that they threw the ball so much. So what does that mean? I think that's what you guys are sort of hashing out. Like, I do think having a veteran wide receiver group, what could that mean for Burks? What can that mean for Will Levis? But there's no doubt that that's the idea. Right, is that you are providing support in particular for your young quarterback and saying, we don't want to leave any stone unturned.
Yeah.
We want to give this kid every chance to succeed.
We need to know.
And it's interesting, too. Sorry, it's interesting to my knowledge. So Hopkins has, this is his final year, I believe, coming up, unless they extend him, then can. But they've also got now Boyd on a one-year deal. It's not like a long-term plan, at least on paper currently. It can be. But currently, and Mace mentioned the 30-year-old options there. Like, it's interesting how they've structured the receiving room based on the one-year contracts or the contract years that are up, and what it means for the future based on the present.
Here's another thing we were kicking around Hutt yesterday. We were looking at Will Levis and what they are trying to build for him in his second year. We went back and looked at Marcus Mariota's second year. This is another one where you can insert your jokes about the historical wide receivers. They supported Marcus Mariota with a very good offensive line. They had people might forget Mariota's second year. He was 8-7 as a starter. That was the year he broke his leg in the last game against Jacksonville. They weren't going to make the playoffs, but it wasn't a bad second year. He had 26 touchdowns and 9 interceptions. He had a quarterback rating of like 96 or 97.
They were in playoff contention, I believe, going into that game.
They were in contention, and unfortunately they couldn't beat Jacksonville. He broke his leg, I think, early in the game. They also lost a weird game that Matt Cassel started that I thought was a weird game. I think Jay Cutler was the starter for the Dolphins, if I'm remembering this right. But all things considered, I thought Marcus Mariota made a nice jump from his first year to his second year, and I was encouraged. And I'm thinking, okay, what did they do for him? They had DeMarco Murray and a rookie, Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Their weapons, though, throwing the ball to, do not come close to the credentials that they've put in front of Levis. Now, the offensive line, I think, is probably the real answer. But how would you answer that of how they supported Mariota as opposed to how they supported Levis here?
Well, the other similarity, Willie, I'm trying to get my years right. Mariota also had a coaching change because they fired Wisenhunt and then went with Malarkey.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's another similarity just here with Will Levis. I mean, look, if we're pairing this, what they've done with the former regimes, this is something that's just so far outside the box. This is different to compare based on just the offense and the personnel that they wanted. They're still going heavy personnel that season with two tight ends. Mariota's throwing the football. He's making plays, but it's not like I just have higher expectations right now going into year two for Will Levis based on what's around him compared to what was around Mariota in 2016, I believe, was the...
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It's the 2016 Titans. They went 9-7. Malarkey was the coach. Terry Robiskie was brought in to be the veteran offensive coordinator. So it's interesting because it illustrates all the different pathways a guy's career can go. Because at the end of the second year, I was very optimistic about Mariota and where he was going. Yeah. And I think all of us would say if Will Levis orchestrates a team that goes 9-8 or something like that, they'd be like, okay, pretty good jump.
I mean, 9-8 gets you in the playoffs, probably.
It might.
There have been some bad teams as a 7 seed.
Right, and even if it doesn't, you would have to say that, okay, he's made a jump from his first year to his second year. You would hope. Now Vince Young, right, he got a team to the playoffs, but he was the rookie of the year before, and he really took a step back his second year, and they just ran the heck out of the ball and played great defense. So there's different ways you can do it. But just looking at what you're hopeful that Levis can do to grow.
And that was, let's see, Rashard Matthews was the receiver then.
Right, he was the leading receiver.
Delanie Walker was your really
that
really
was the security receiver. Yes.
Yeah, and then they had Andre Johnson in that preseason.
Kendall Wright
was in the Treylon Burks role.
I forgot that Kendall Wright was still on that team, but it obviously just wasn't working out for him. First round pick wide receiver.
That speaks volumes that you forgot about him.
Same with Justin Hunter, but he got traded that year, I think. So, I mean, look, the expectations are there now. Offensive line. I don't know about you guys, but just with Bill Callahan involved in this, I just give the benefit of the doubt to him when it comes to coaching and figuring out this best set of whether they're going to do it right guard or right tackle. And just, thinking that Latham is good enough to play left and is ready to go from the jump. They're going to give him every opportunity. And then if Levis has protection and they have, they should have a steady run game with Pollard and Sharp. So I'm more optimistic about year two for Will Levis. Consider this. Consider Justin Fields year two in Chicago and the mess that they put around him and the lack of investment that they had. They chose to just eat the contracts of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry, and it's allowed them and freed up some money to allocate elsewhere. And they've done that at receiver. We're going young on the offensive line.
I'm glad you brought up the offensive line. Jonathan Hutton is with us because I would agree. The addition of Bill Callahan and the addition of Lloyd Cushenberry makes me feel better about the offensive line from last year. But also, that's not saying a lot because last year was like Guinness Book bad. I still have a lot of questions. Like, can J.C. Latham make that move over from right to left? If he can't, then who's playing left tackle? If he can, then who is playing right tackle? How would you feel if the Titans went into this season with the offensive line as currently constructed? Let's just say Nicholas Petit-Frere at right tackle. Let's say Dylan Radins at right guard.
Feel a lot better with Petit-Frere at right tackle. I mean, you ask who's going to play left and right. I think they're just flip-flop if Latham can't do it. But, I mean, he's going to be left tackle to start. I mean, health aside, let's just say. I mean, they're going to give him the shot. And I'm not expecting him to come in and be Dylan Radins. If he is, that's awful.
Oh, if he is, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, yeah. And the knock on Radins in camp that first year was just his physicality and those joint practices especially. I think they went to Miami. Or maybe it was Atlanta. I can't remember which. And that's where it really jumped out. I get the sense Latham's a bit different than that. And Bill Callahan stood on the table for him. So that to me speaks volumes instead of a first or second year type offensive line coach at the time. I'm also going back just real quick. And by the way, you know, just to answer your question, Caroline, I'm optimistic that the offensive line solidifies itself as the season progresses. The right side is where the concern is for me. Again, just going back to Callahan's recommendation and the fact that they've signed a top center on the market in Cushenberry. They did what they could and addressed where they could with the players that were available, and they got the top guy by consensus. I don't know how you couldn't be pleased with that. And Willie, you mentioned year two for Levis. What and the jump that he can make. Think about the year two for Rand Carthon. You know, like he's saying it's year one in the draft, but it's year two. And the perception of Carthon, if they were to make that jump with Levis, given the fact that they've put some players and pieces around them, and it's more of a fan-friendly offense for sure. You know, that's the other branch to this tree. That's
trying to establish some belief. It is interesting because they're going a different direction than I thought they had to. I still think it would have been fine. I would have. I don't know if the fans would have felt this way, but I think it would have been fine to be a little bit more measured. But they're spending, and you get the feeling they still could go out. They still have more money they could use to bolster a roster. It's sort of unconventional, and I just hope they aren't starting to get it. As long as they don't get themselves into salary cap trouble earlier than they should,
right?
Because of these purchases they're making right now, you can look at the roster and say, okay, does this look better than it did going into last year? I think the answer is yes in a lot of areas, right?
Yeah, and so I agree. And, so the money guys behind the scenes, Brinker has a past in that with Green Bay. But the one steady guy in the front office that continues to be there is Vin Marino. He's been over the salary cap for years. And, I agree with what you're saying. I also say, man, it's just knowing what they've done and where they've allocated their money, Willie. This whole idea that Amy Adams Strunk doesn't spend is
that's a misnomer.
And the other thing, I mean, she's fired John Robinson, she fired Mike Vrabel, and she continues to talk about winning. They may not win a ton of games, but you can't argue the fact that they're trying to win, given what they've done this offseason, trying to go after certain players and addressing big needs. And the wide receiver room, man. Compared to the conversation, I'd love to go back on the archive and see what we were talking about this time last year because they didn't address it, and now they've done a complete 180.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton with Throw. Hut, appreciate your time today. Always appreciate you stopping by, and we'll catch up next week.
Yeah, that sounds great, guys. Always enjoy this. Have a great week.
All right, thanks, Hut. Appreciate it. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton with Throw. I want to react to what he had to say there, and I also want to continue to react to the Tyler Boyd signing. I talked to Trevor Maddich yesterday. He gave his thoughts on it. Some strong feelings. Do we agree? We'll get into that coming up next. Of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. A reminder, we're having text line issues. If you have a thought, call in. 615-737-1025.
The old-fashioned vine. Pull out the vine.
The old-fashioned talk on the phone. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Caroline, I don't like it. I love it. I love it. This extends what I think has the potential to be one of the best off seasons for the Titans in recent memory. Now, guys need to play, and especially certain key guys especially need to stay healthy in order for that to come to fruition. But right now, on paper, this is an extension of what could be a magnificent off season. So I expect him to be a huge upgrade on the field. But the reason I love this is because of what he brings off the field. I mean, you've got a new coaching staff with Brian Callahan, the head coach. And, of course, Tyler Boyd has been in Cincinnati with Coach Callahan as offensive coordinator. He understands the nuances of this offense, and he'll be able to teach those things from the perspective of a player on the field to that wide receiver room. He also will be able to help quarterback Will Levis with the nuances of this offense relative to what wide receivers need from him. He'll also be able to help everybody there in the wide receiver and quarterback rooms understand what the new head coach is all about, what makes him tick, what he expects, what he means when he says this, how he responds when you do that, you know, how you need to impress him, because there are certain things that he's looking for from you. And to have a guy that's been with him for years is gold, because now Will Levis will have a translator, and then he upgrades this wide receiver room on the field. And I think overall, this is, as considering it's a 1-year deal at a max of $4.5 million, so it's not a financial commitment and it's not a financial risk. This is about as good a thing as it could have happened to the quarterback and receiver rooms in the first year of Coach Callahan's tenure.
Whoa! Woo! A glowing review from Trevor Maddich, ESPN College Sports Analyst. I filled in for Jared, myself and Adam Vingham, we filled in for Jared yesterday, and that was Trevor Maddich's response. I asked him, how do you feel about the Tyler Boyd signing? He absolutely loves it. And he continued even more for like 30 more seconds, another minute, but just about how much he loved the Tyler Boyd signing. Are we more aligned with Trevor Maddich or not?
I again, love it, hate it. I mean, you use whatever adjective you want to.
How do you feel about it, D-Mace? I haven't gotten to talk to you about it.
I think it's a good signing. Because I know how this game works, and we've been down this road again, two or three times with veteran guys that you bring in here, and everybody is over the moon and everybody's talking about how great this is going to be. And then it turns out, as I'm saying it at the beginning and I'm telling people what to watch out for, nobody's listening. Then it turns out to be exactly what I said. It's like, did y'all not listen to me when I was talking about this on the first end? This is a good signing. Why? For depth purposes. This is not going to turn this offense from a, what were they ranked last year? 26, somewhere around there. This is not going to make turn it from 26 to number 6 or number 5.
No.
They're not going to even put Will Levis in that position to have that big jump and increase in numbers. This move was solely made because, one, they're trying to add depth. They're trying to add insurance to this receiving core. They don't want to go into another year like they did last year and the year before that, even though I think last year was a lot on the coaching staff and not on the players. You had guys making plays for you that you didn't involve in the offense last year. And I'm talking about Chris Moore. I'm not even talking about Treylon Burks. You chose not to involve them into your offense last year as much as they should have been. So I look at this as a good signing. I'm not over the, head over heels, because what comes with veteran guys is experience and sort of skins on the wall. What comes with veteran guys also is that experience and that wear and tear and that injury history and you slowing down as a receiver. This team has not gotten faster in their first three receivers. They haven't. Even as much as I love Calvin Ridley, y'all know how much I love Calvin Ridley. I said they should have went and got him when he got suspended from Atlanta. That should have been one of the first moves they made in the offseason, because you didn't have to worry about him for a season, and you got him for the pennies on the dollar. But they didn't. They brought him in now. But he doesn't cure your speed. He doesn't.
You don't think so?
He doesn't cure it.
Why not?
Because he's a good number one. He's, from what I've seen, he's not going to take the top off. He's not going to make defenses rotate over. I call them secondary shifters. There's only two or three in the league, I believe, that are secondary shifters. Calvin Ridley is a good receiver, a solid number one receiver in this offense. Is he going to get 1,000 yards? Absolutely he's going to get 1,000 yards in his offense. They're going to make sure he does. Is he going to have more than 5 touchdowns? I believe so. But that doesn't mean he solved their speed. He didn't solve their speed. Hopefully the young guy can be a part of it. Hopefully Treylon Burks can be a part of it. But he didn't sort of, your greatest weakness at receiver or at that position, let's say at that position, he didn't solve it. Tell me if he solved it.
Does he help it?
He help it. They're no faster this year than they were last year. Let's just say that.
You don't think they're like Calvin Ridley as a burner doesn't make them faster?
He's not. Show me where he's a burner. I like Calvin Ridley, but I'm not going to sit here and lie and say he had 4.2 speed and he's a burner when he's not. He's a good, solid number one receiver with good speed. He doesn't have great speed. Hell, there's not many receivers that have great speed. He has good speed. We will watch.
Who could they have gotten to make them faster?
They could, I don't know who was out there that would have gotten them. You look at a Stephon Diggs. I don't think Stephon Diggs is a burner. Mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs has good speed, but Stephon Diggs has those other things. He makes those tough catches. He's a true bona fide number one. Calvin Ridley is the number one, but everybody's throwing his own. He solved the speed problem. He hasn't solved the speed problem. They still don't have the speed that they need on offense. Well, and let's say at the wide receiver position, because they've gotten extremely old very fast at that position. They did. Mm-hmm. If I'm lying, tell me I'm lying. I think the three guys they have are really good receivers, but all of them are in different phases of their career. All of them are sort of on the other side. Not that they can't play.
They're closer to the end than the
beginning. Exactly. That's what I mean. They're closer. So to me, they are no faster this year than they were last year. I'm not saying they're not better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they are not better. They're not faster. I would invite any conversation y'all want to have about this team being faster than what they were last year, this receiving corps, because I don't see it.
Let me give you my concern on top of what you're saying, because I see that this is, it's very clear they're trying to, especially on offense, create a good security blanket around a young quarterback, and that is going to serve a benefit. But what is the end game? Aren't you trying to build, what is the best way to build a contending roster for the future? My concern is, okay, if you, let's say you go like Mariota's second year, that Levis has a nice support system, you have a nice offensive jump, he looks good some, and you squeeze out, let's say, 9 wins, mm-hmm. and you say, okay, that's a positive step. Well, you still then have to deal with the fact that you have 3 receivers in their 30s. Are you going to bring Hopkins back? How do you replace him? His contract will be up. Boyd is on a 1-year deal. Ridley you will have, but he'll be 30, right? And mm-hmm. I hope that he's a young 30, right? Because he hasn't played as much. He was older coming into the league. He doesn't have a lot of mileage on him.
He says he's 25.
Right. Yeah. You know, and let's hope
sure,
he's
not. Just put a number.
Let's hope he's worth the investment, yeah. right? They invested a lot of money. But this is the peril of free agent pickups, right? Is that they age fast. You get them at a stage of their career where they already have a lot of mileage on them and they don't have a lot of shelf life left. So somewhere in here, you've got to develop a young group of players. And so they better draft well. But you see what I'm saying? It's okay to do this in the short term. But in the long run, are you really getting closer to building a great team, a great roster?
I think that building a great team and a Super Bowl contending team, the first part of it is the quarterback. And I think right now it's, you know, we want to be as good as we possibly can, understanding the roster limitations. I think right now the biggest question is, do we have our quarterback that we feel like can get us to this point? So this year, you know, signing Tyler Boyd on just a one-year deal, it's a one-year commitment. Mm-hmm. It's a very low-term commitment. So let's bring Tyler Boyd in as another veteran presence for Will Levis, a guy that knows the offense, can help the rest of the receivers learn the offense, kind of be extension of the coaching staff mm-hmm. and of Brian Callahan's offense. Just bring him in on a one-year deal just to help Will Levis and to help us figure out what Will Levis is. I know that the Titans need to get younger at that position. I hear that, and that's what I see a lot on Twitter and in the text line yesterday. Well, you're not going to do that this year. You get younger at that position by drafting that position.
Right, and it takes time. You only get so many.
Yeah. And having to sign him to a big-time deal. And frankly, I'm not on board with that. So it is a short-term solution. It's a plug-and-play. Let's give Will Levis some reliable veteran guys to throw to so we have a better clean slate to be able to evaluate Will Levis. And if we evaluate Will Levis and we feel encouraged by what he can be, let's continue to build around him. Let's find him some young pass catchers and, you know, let's say draft a wide receiver in the first round of the draft next year. Continue to build the offensive line. If we add pieces around Will Levis and he's still not taking those steps forward and he's still not showing the promise that we need him to show, well, then you need to start making the game plan for finding that next quarterback. So I view it as a piece for Will Levis way more than I view it as a long-term solution at that position. I think the term is what I like most about this signing. Mm-hmm. 1 year, up to $4.5 million. Low-term commitment, low-money commitment. Let's put him in there as a reliable piece, and hopefully Will Levis will feel a little bit more comfortable throwing to those three veteran receivers rather than, you know, the revolving door receiver we saw last season where DeAndre Hopkins was mm-hmm. really his only reliable target.
Yeah, no, you're right. But, I mean, again, I want to reiterate this because I know how some people can sort of get my words sort of mixed up, or they, you know, tend to leave out the first one half and then go to the other half. This is as they sit right now, Calvin Ridley, D-Hop, and Tyler Boyd and Treylon Burks. Let's just say the top four, that four. This is a good receiving core.
Yeah.
People, this is a good
and it better be
core.
Because they're spending a lot of money on that.
And I'm going to say it one more time because it seems like if you say it three times, people really listen. This is a good receiving core, but you didn't add speed to this receiving core when you're talking the veteran guys that you brought in. These are good. These are guys that have made plays in this league, all three of them. One of them may just be well going to the Hall of Fame when he retires in D-Hop. More than likely, he will. He should. You got a Calvin Ridley that's older, but he has produced in this league. Then you have Tyler Boyd, who's been in the league 8-9 years. He's not getting any faster. We know who he is. Each one of these guys are in a phase of their career right now that the speed is not why you brought him here. They didn't bring near one of these guys here because of their speed, because near one of these guys averaged over 12 or 13 yards per catch. And I know sometimes that doesn't truly, you know, tell whether a guy's fast, but it does mean your explosiveness. I want to see the yards after the catch for all these guys. You bring in a solid, dependable, really good receiving core. That's what you have. But you didn't add any speed to this core. You didn't.
And you can continue to add speed moving
forward. Oh, they can. Like, and I'm sure they will. And they hope the young guy that they brought in from Louisville.
Tulane,
not Louisville. The defensive back is from Louisville. From Tulane, they hope he can contribute right away. They hope Treylon can start showing that speed mm-hmm. and that consistency. Those are the two guys that is going to make this receiving core faster if they play themselves into time, mm-hmm. if they play themselves into catches and being on the field. If they don't, this receiving core is from a speed standpoint, it's a okay receiving core. From a speed standpoint, mm-hmm. people, from a speed standpoint, it's okay. From a speed standpoint, it's okay. I need to say that one more time.
Yeah, and it's fair. And one more quick point before we break. I keep hearing, well, you know, same old Titans, just bringing in old receivers. This is not the Julio Jones trade. You didn't trade a second round pick. And also the Titans brought Julio Jones in to be into being a game changer, into being that extra little, you know, topper on the Christmas tree of capitalizing on a Super Bowl window. The Titans are bringing in Tyler Boyd to be the three, paying him up to $4.5 million to be the three. They're not asking him to be your one. And if he needs to be the one, then my goodness.
We're in for it.
In for it, yet again. 615-737-1025 is the number. We'll take your calls. Do not text because we will not see it. Call in if you have a thought. Plus, coming up next, as we talk about the receiving core, I saw an article yesterday that kind of, you know, perked my ears a little bit. I don't agree with it, but I want to get your thoughts on it. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we'll catch up with Adam Vingan at the top of the hour. We'll get his reaction, what he took away from Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz's press conference yesterday. But first, right to your phones on the Titans' Tyler Boyd signing. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Call in. Do not text because we will not see it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt is on the line with a thought on the Titans. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Love the show. Just wanted to touch on a couple of things. I think, Caroline, you're spot on. This is an important year for Will Levis as far as his confidence. And just, you know, obviously the Titans' ability to evaluate him with the players they brought on. And to D-Maze's point, you know, he'll forget more about playing receiver than I'll ever know. But just from the tape, I don't know what the testing time is, but it looks like, just to me, that Calvin Ridley is more explosive than any receiver that the Titans had last year. And I think automatically he brings an element that, you know, we didn't have last year. So I think, you know, he said that we didn't bring any speed to the offense. But I really do feel like we added that explosive element that we desperately needed. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Matt.
There's different kinds of explosive plays, Demons. I know, I'm going to try to keep you from having to go through the whole same tirade again.
That's very okay. Kind of you.
But when I think of an explosive play, I used to think that meant you got to throw the bomb behind the defense, right? And that's one way of doing it, obviously.
That absolutely is one.
But also, you get a guy going in space, and he can break a tackle and turn a slant into 20, 30 yards. A.J. Brown was not a straight sprinter, right? But he was really good at making that first move after he caught the ball, and boom, he's free and he's moving. So I haven't watched Ridley enough to know how he gets his yardage. I do look, and you pointed this out, at yards per catch. Boyd, Ridley, D-Hop at this point, not high. Usually the guys who get explosive plays, they're averaging 16, 17 yards a catch because they're getting a certain amount of catches that result in explosive plays. When I see one that's 10, which is Boyd, the lowest he's ever had last year as he's getting older. Ridley, who, despite the caller's, his projection, 13 yards a catch does not suggest a ton of explosiveness there, at least not last year. And when D-Hop, as he's aged, we mentioned that a lot before they signed him last year, his yards per catch has gone down. He's a possession receiver, although I was impressed last year how many times he got some double moves, got behind the defense, you know, some skill, some guile. He's really good at getting himself open. But I do see what D-Mace is saying.
Yeah.
With, you look at that yards per catch, I do wonder if they will have the explosiveness that a good offense needs to have. I don't see it.
For instance, and I'm going to let you get back.
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, this is what people, you know, y'all talk, because, listen, as much as I will praise a guy, I will sort of give the other side to it. Like, I like Traylon. Y'all know how I feel about Traylon, but there are things that Traylon needs to get better in. And I've said it. Whether somebody likes it or not, whether he hears it and he likes it and he hears it, he does it, that's not my concern. My concern is being honest, you know, in assessing these guys. I like Traylon a lot, but there's a lot he needs to work on, too. He needs to do his part. I like Calvin Ridley a lot, but obviously I need to tell the other side of it, too, in regards to these players. He has seven drops, people. Seven drops last season.
How many targets?
it's not about the targets. He had seven drops.
I think it is about
no,
the targets.
No, 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 no.
136 targets.
It's not about the targets.
It's about the percentage of drops.
But
if you get 700 balls thrown your way and you drop seven, that's not bad.
But his catch rate's
not that
high.
And I know that 700
is high. The catch rate.
Isn't that great?
Isn't high. I didn't know. I'm not holding that against him, but I'm just telling the other side, for everybody that's, you know, out here screaming, I'm giving y'all the other side of what y'all what y'all will be potentially talking about, you know, in November or December.
Right. And Derek's going to say, exactly. I told you in May.
I'm telling y'all right now.
Just like with D-Hop last year.
Yes, and I told y'all the same, and the same things came true in regards to that. He had seven drops now. Again, like you said, where are the seven drops?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. But on paper, he averaged 2.7 yards after the catch.
Not great.
Yards after catch per reception, 2.7 yards. I don't know if that seems very low to me.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be, but it seems very low to me. He upgrades your receiving core because he's made plays in this league. He's a good number one. Okay, I'm not saying that he's not. You upgraded from that standpoint. Like your receiving core, adding him, yes, you got better. Obviously, you did. I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't. But what I'm hearing is, oh, they got faster. They got faster. How? When? With who? Tell me answer these three questions for me.
I think that the perspective, my perspective of that is, mm-hmm. Yeah, they got faster because they didn't have anyone in the receiving corps last year.
They didn't use them.
Hopkins.
They didn't use, no. Don't say that. They didn't use them. Chris Moore averaged over 17 yards of reception.
Yeah, Chris Moore.
And they didn't use him. They didn't use, Traylon Burks didn't do his part, but they damn sure didn't help him. Okay, that's why I am optimistic about this coaching staff, because the last coaching staff didn't do the necessary things, and Traylon needs to do more too, as I've always said. But you had a guy that was your deep run, home run threat. He averaged 17 yards. That's hard to average, mm-hmm. 17 yards per reception, and you didn't go to him more. You didn't involve him in offense more last year, so you can't say that they did that they are faster than what they were last year. They had it. They just didn't use it. Now, how they use it this year may be totally different. But what they had last year, I'm not going to sit here and let people poop on those guys that they had last year and say they wasn't fast. I look at Chris Moore. He was damn fast. He got down the field. It's just his last coaching staff didn't use him the way they should have. That's why he's not here no more.
And to be fair, if you give me Calvin Ridley and Chris Moore on a platter, no disrespect to Chris Moore, I'm taking Calvin Ridley every single day.
Absolutely, but that doesn't mean. We're not talking about speed.
Explosive.
Yeah,
play.
We're talking about speed. Now, yeah, give me Calvin Ridley all day over Chris Moore. I understand that, but I'm not going to sit here and say, "Oh, they've gotten faster," when I know Chris Moore. He was an explosive receiver for this team last year when they gave him the opportunity. They just didn't give him many opportunities.
And another thing that I have to keep in mind, too, mm-hmm. is how much was it just comfort level with Will Levis? How much was it the coaching staff not involving Chris Moore, and how much of it was Will Levis just sitting back and thinking, you know what, I trust D-Hop, so I'm just going to give it to D-Hop.
Well, he threw the ball to D-Hop down the field. That's no excuse.
I think he trusted D-Hop.
It's no excuse. You design a play for that receiver. They're going to practice it over and over again during the week. If it's not open, then you throw it to somebody else. But you put that guy in a position where he can run that route again. And then you look to throw it to him. If he's not there, you come down. That's what you did to D-Hop.
Mm-hmm.
You did it to D-Hop. When he wasn't open downfield, you came down to the next guy. So, again, why couldn't you do that for everyone else?
And I'm not taking the coaching staff off the hook, because obviously there were a lot of problems with that coaching staff on the field, off the field, you know, game planning, in-game management, so on and so forth. But other factors that I think are important mm-hmm. as well. Overall, the wide receiver room is upgraded.
Yes.
How much more upgraded? I do not know. How is that going to come to fruition on Sundays? I do not know. Upgraded, I think, is fair to say, at least on paper. I know you don't play football on paper. Mm-hmm. But on paper, It is upgraded. All right, we'll catch up with Adam Vingan coming up next. I want to get his reaction to Andrew Burnett and Barry Trotz's end-of-the-season press conference yesterday. What does Adam think is the best path forward for the Nashville Predators? We'll get into that with Adam Vingan coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106 for the game.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.